So, Cardiff, you know, the iconic board game Monopoly.
Of course.
So I feel like everyone has a special Monopoly strategy, like their go-to.
You mean not everybody just buys everything they land on, or is that just me and you?
No, well, I don't buy everything I land on. I try to get a house up just ASAP. I feel like that's the key. Anyway, well, safe to say, though, what is not part of anybody's Monopoly strategy is the utilities. The electric company and waterworks, if you even remembered they were on the Monopoly board, they are there. They're just kind of...
boring.
Yeah, what you said, by all accounts. They don't pay very much. You can't develop them. You know, they're not a bad thing to buy. It's just like a little trickle of income, I guess. And in a lot of ways, that is how utilities are in real life, too. Or at least they were. This is according to Severin Borenstein. He's an economist and also directs the Energy Institute at Berkeley's Haas School of Business. And he says utility companies like Duke Energy in North Carolina, NextEra Energy based in Florida, and California's Pacific Gas and Electric have traditionally been pretty solid, sleepy little stocks to invest in.
And so investors have seen this as a pretty good investment. Not that they made massively more than other companies on the stock exchange, but they did about as well with taking on less risk.
Less risk because these utilities have a kind of built-in customer base.
Everybody needs lights.
Yeah, and they've got a product that everybody needs. So PG&E, for instance, the big power company in California, has been a profitable company for years, sometimes even making annual profits of about $1 billion. So it was a little surprising that they declared bankruptcy a few days ago. The company has been around since the early 1900s. It's about the same age as Monopoly itself. And it is huge. It's a monster. It is the biggest publicly traded company to declare bankruptcy in a decade since a financial crisis. So what happened? This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, what is happening to boring utilities? For PG&E and others, the utility business is changing. And now a lot of companies, governments, and customers are kind of feeling their way in the dark.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Yahoo Finance Live. 8 hours of free live streaming news without cable or a subscription. Tune in for the news you need about your money, accessible wherever you go. Support also comes from Asana. Asana is work management software to help teams organize everything they do so they can focus on the work that matters most. Try Asana free for 30 days. Get started at asana.com/indicator.
The utilities business is almost unique. Most utilities are actually investor-owned companies like Apple or Exxon. They're not run by the government, but they are regulated by the government. And so, yeah, it's kind of a unique partnership.
Economist Severin Borenstein says many utilities were set up as kind of a regulated monopoly or near monopoly. The companies would invest all this money in infrastructure, they'd build out a power grid, and in exchange for this big, costly investment, the city or the state would agree to make them the power provider or one of the few power providers for an area. They would have their own captive audience.
Yeah, but they couldn't go crazy with that captive audience. Regulators would generally approve the rates that the utilities could charge, and the regulators would also oversee operations and services. Because remember, this is a public utility that was being provided. So you have a company that's trying to maximize profits, running a necessary public utility, and it all just seems like a kind of weird contradiction.
It is a weird contradiction because it's so heavily regulated, but it actually is the primary model for electricity generation and distribution in the United States.
Severin says this emerged as the dominant model in most of the country.
There are publicly owned utilities, and there are some co-ops, but those tend to be much smaller, and the majority of the electricity delivered in the United States comes through investor-owned utilities that are regulated by a state commission.
But these government corporate partnerships have gotten kind of rattled recently for a few reasons, says Severin. There's something old, something new, and something sued.
Hey-o.
This is America, after all.
So first, the something old. A couple of decades ago, a big wave of deregulation swept across utility markets all throughout the country, including in California.
Yeah, little companies started cropping up that were offering competing energy services. Often they were greener or slightly cheaper alternatives. And this was kind of a shock for utilities. A lot of times they were not used to competition. And these groups have been gaining traction over the years. PG&E has been contending with these competitors, and those competitors have been nibbling away at PG&E's profits. That is the something old.
Then something new happened, or new-ish, alternative energy. A lot of states for some years now have been offering major tax incentives to people who install rooftop solar panels. And again, that includes California.
There's a big concern about rooftop solar, that as more households and companies put in their own solar behind the meter, that will reduce the amount they buy from the utility, and the utility will not be able to cover its sunk costs of running the transmission and distribution network.
Yeah, and solar has been really catching on in California. It now generates more than 10% of the state's energy. So that is our something new. And now, of course, something sued. To the lawyers!
Nice. The third curveball utilities are now dealing with is climate change. Utilities have to contend with some of the climate extremes that we've been seeing more and more of in recent years. Things like the ongoing polar vortex, which puts a huge demand on the power grid. But also things like hurricanes and heat waves. And in California, obviously, wildfires. Due to climate change, these fires are expected to become more frequent and more destructive. But here is where PG&E faces an extra layer of risk, says Severin.
And wildfires are different from hurricanes and tornadoes because the wildfire itself can get blamed on the utility, whereas nobody's blaming the hurricane or the tornado on the utility.
Here's the thing. PG&E has been deemed to have caused some of California's biggest fires. In one case, because it didn't trim tree branches near a power line. The branches caught fire, and now PG&E says it could be on the hook for up to $30 billion in damages. And its insurance only covers a fraction of that.
Yeah, also, PG&E has power lines and transformers all over the state of California. That's just a constant fire hazard. And insuring all that would be expensive if it were even possible.
PG&E's day-to-day operations continue to make money, but the wildfires have created such a huge potential liability that there is a very real possibility they will not be able to raise enough money to pay off those liabilities. And that was their argument for filing for Chapter 11.
Chapter 11 bankruptcy, of course, is when a company restructures and tries to figure out a profitable way forward. But what is the profitable way forward? Because this formerly steady little business, this boring square on the monopoly board, is very exciting all of a sudden. And you know what you do not want when it comes to heating your home or flipping on a light switch or opening your gas bill?
Excitement?
Excitement. Nobody wants an exciting gas bill. But now it looks like utility bills in California and in other places around the country might be headed up as utilities and governments try to figure out this new world. Has this been a good system up until recently, I guess?
Well, it has been a mixed system, but it's not clear that it's any worse than the alternatives.
Okay.
There's no good system here. So the one alternative is that we have the government directly produce the electricity, that is, own the electricity company.
Yeah.
And that also has problems.
Yeah, Severin says government-run utilities also don't have a very good track record, and that might actually be an understatement. It does seem like PG&E's fire liability might end up being less than it thought originally. The company's stock price actually went up after it declared for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Severin says he thinks California will end up with a slightly modified version of the status quo.
You continue with an investor-owned model, but you recognize the much, much higher safety issues and risks that we now face than we used to. And you recognize this starts to look a lot more like the airline industry or the nuclear power industry, where we don't just do office-level regulation where the regulator says you should go out and trim trees. The regulator actually sends out inspectors.
Severin says PG&E, state regulators, and all of the company stakeholders will definitely be looking at a bunch of alternatives.
And we will be looking for a new board game.
Yeah, well, Monopoly takes too long. Don't you think Monopoly takes too long? I have no patience.
I haven't played it in like a quarter of a century or something.
I can't even make it through Candy Crush. It takes too long. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Constanza Gallardo. Our intern is Willa Rubin, and we're a production of NPR.